So the numbers don't lie. College grads have double the yearly income, three times the retirement savings, and here's a deal closer, four times the net worth of working-age non-college Americans. Let me say that again. Four times the net worth. Going to college is life-changing, and it gives you better economic outcomes. And yet, two-thirds of working-age adults in the United States do not have a four-year degree. We need to do better here in Michigan if we are to compete in the global economy that we all must compete in going forward. Two MVP institutions to lead us to that place are with us here today, represented by University of Michigan President Santa Ono. Great to have you here.
Thank you very much.
And Michigan State University President Teresa Woodruff.
Thank you, Guy. Glad to be here.
You two actually collaborate on much more things while we hammer each other senseless on the athletic fields. In the academic world, you collaborate on a lot of these
things. We do, and that's going to ramp up in the years ahead. We're going to represent Team Michigan.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's no competition in academics. We're all in together.
So the numbers for higher learning in the state of Michigan are not pretty. Right now, our enrollment decline is higher than the national rate. But your institutions are kind of defying that.
Mm-hmm.
What's the secret sauce? How are you doing so much better, and how have you positioned yourselves so that you're not suffering the same enrollment declines as other institutions?
Well, I think for Michigan State, we 2 years ago really changed our admissions, and we went from major to mission. We're asking 15 and 16-year-olds to, you know, pick from a whole series of 160 majors. That's pretty hard to do and know what to do with it.
Yeah.
So instead, we started asking these same students all across Michigan and those who are interested in coming to Michigan State and, of course, to University of Michigan, not just what's your major, but what's your mission in life? And talking about mission and passion changes the equation. And so students then gravitate towards a place that will help them enable not just an endpoint, but a way of thinking. And that's been really transformative for us at MSU.
I would say at the University of Michigan, the applications are through the roof. As you probably know, over 93,000 applications last year. For us, the approach is really to stress experiential learning, regardless of what the major is. Often that had been focused on things like engineering or architecture, but we've expanded that across all of the 19 schools. And students really like to see, you know, the relevance of what they're learning in school to a future career. And it doesn't hurt that we have a pretty big brand in terms of athletics as well.
But there's a disconnect here, because I just read the numbers, right?
Mm-hmm.
Four times the net worth. That should speak to every young person that this makes a difference. And yet, we had the NORC survey come out basically saying that people do not, maybe it's because of the student loan burden and they see others struggling with that, they don't see the economic equation that they get a return on their investment for tuition, room and board, and books.
Right.
How do we change that? Because are we not speaking the proper language to young people that there is a direct connection here between their future and their educational attainment?
Well, I think, Guy, part of it is there are a lot of cultural voices that are saying higher education is not worth it. And that negative, regressive way of thinking is something that we do have to give the actual data, as you've just done. And we like to talk about the healthiness of those who graduate from college as well. So from the tangibles of dollars and cents to your health and well-being, having a college degree is really transformative to students. And
Isn't some of this disconnect what they choose while they're in college? Your engineers, certainly coming out of the University of Michigan, understand. Your doctors, or coming out of your health sciences at Michigan State, understand. They can see it. But maybe, and I don't mean to, you know, diminish art history as being a noble pursuit, they're not going to be as marketable. How do we make sure that we channel them into places where they will get a return on their investment so they're not looking at their peers saying, well, that didn't work out?
There are several things that we have to do. First, the data actually show that those studying the liberal arts actually do very well.
They do very well.
And so we don't articulate that very well. And we have to do, we have to actually address that myth that they don't do well more powerfully. We also have to speak more to high school students, especially boys. Actually, it's quite a phenomena that quite a few women are applying to universities, to colleges, but that boys are not. And so we have to address that much earlier, probably in elementary school and junior high school as well.
We talk a lot. I mean, I know at University of Michigan, you've got the mobility project going, which has been very big. But we're also collaborating, and I hesitate to say, you're collaborating with the Ohio State University mm-hmm. on semiconductors. Mm-hmm. Tell me about the groundbreaking work we're doing there, because those aren't $40,000 factory jobs making batteries. Those are truly very high value, what, $120,000 on
right.
average?
Yep.
Or even more if, after mm-hmm. a couple of years' experience. It's remarkable.
Where mm-hmm. is Michigan's piece of that? We see a lot of those jobs going to Columbus because Intel's building their big research center there. What's Michigan getting
well,
out
we
of it?
We do have chip makers that are here. We're also working with the state of Michigan and MEDC, and President Ono and I have collaborated on a number of visits for folks who are interested in bringing their manufacturing here to the state of Michigan. And we have that workforce. We have that opportunity to think in very new ways about the educational process for those students who are going to come into this new industry, both that industry as it is found today, but also I think between our universities, we're also creating the engine of opportunity for the future. We're literally inventing the next chip technology, which probably won't look like a chip, and it's going to look something different.
Yeah.
And our students are going to be ready for that. And I think the collaboration that we have with the two great R1s in Michigan together with Ohio State really does portend well for the upper Midwest in being an agent of change in the manufacturing world of the future, drawing more people into our region.
I'd also like to say that in addition to that, what we're doing with MEDC, that we just launched a global superconducting center of our own and invested $55 million in a new quantum institute. And so we're being pretty aggressive as a state. Mm-hmm. We want to partner with, in addition to Michigan State, Wayne State and Washtenaw Community College. So we're really coming together as a team, and that's going to be critical moving forward.
In terms of going forward, you know, yesterday we had the letter coming out from several business leaders talking about extinction and AI. I mean,
yes, write a letter.
That's yeah. That's it was an eye extinction's an eye opener. Mm-hmm. Gets your mm-hmm. attention. But there are near-term challenges that are even, I think, more immediate threats, which is job loss. As you're producing graduates, what are we doing to make sure that not only are they AI proficient, but they are AI immune?
Well, I'll start, and then I know President Ono's talked to this as well. I talked with our engineers at Design Day, and then we had a press conference together last week. And one of the things that I've been saying is that I like AI. I'm not afraid of artificial intelligence. But what I like even better is GI. I like genuine intelligence. And Spartan engineers and those who are coming into the near engineering space of digital innovation, those are going to be people who have genuine intelligence that actually can build the robustness and the boundary conditions around which AI is going to need to work. And that, I think, is where we have to be inspired to move. And there's been the resounding gong for some time of the worries. And so we have to be smarter than a bot. And we need to train those individuals who can be smarter than a bot. And to your point earlier about the arts and humanities, we think, really believe firmly, that arts and humanities have a role to play in making sure we understand the humanness and humanity of the technologies that we interface with. Not the humanity of AI, but of our interface with that. And that's where bridging all of our different disciplines becomes an advantage for folks trained in Michigan who are going to be leading this new area of technology.
See, when I think of human-machine interface, I think engineering, not humanities.
Well, we have a new engineering center that we're putting together that includes six colleges, okay, including College of Arts and Letters. It is not one engineering college. It is bringing together the disciplines of the university to solve problems in digital innovation.
So make the case, because, I mean, if I graduate with a four-year degree or I go to graduate school and I come out of Ross, am I going to get replaced by a bot? And how do we assure that doesn't happen?
Absolutely not. And like Michigan State, we have a committee made up of deans of all 19 schools. They're actually talking about this, talking about the threat of, you know, Hinton, the godfather of AI, who actually expressed some concerns and left the company because of those concerns. Michigan is actively having conversations internally, but also with those companies to ensure that the future will be human-informed, and the concerns that have been articulated have been addressed moving forward. So I'm also very excited about AI.
You also are helping. You're doing more collaboration, I think, than I've ever seen before with community colleges. Mm-hmm. They're almost, I wouldn't say it was adversarial, but you worked in different spheres. Now you're working together. Tell me what's happening to smooth the transition from two-year universities to yours.
It's incredibly important. There has to be an alignment and a pipeline. If you look at any competitive ecosystem, there's an alignment in terms of transferability of credits, of really thoughtful partnership in terms of credits, but also courses that come together at the transition, you know, effective mentoring and advising of students that make mm-hmm. that transition. And the major corporations, technology corporations, need the whole spectrum of our graduates, not only from Research One universities, but also from community colleges. That's why we're going to come together in a way that hasn't been seen before in the state of Michigan, and it's necessary.
Right. We have Envision Green with the Lansing Community College, which is a direct portal for community college students to come directly to Michigan State, and we have advisors there at LCC and at Michigan State, and with Bay Mills Community College here in the Upper Peninsula. I guess we're mid-peninsula, right, where we are right now, Guy, but in the Upper Peninsula. We have a collaboration there for bringing students to our medical colleges. So from our undergraduate connectivity to our professional college connectivity, we see connection as the way to leverage the excellence of Michigan, of the state of Michigan. And we're just proud to do it with the University of Michigan as well.
And we need an easier gateway, too. Mm-hmm. Final question. I'm going full-on Barbara Walters on you
now. Okay, good. What, our favorite tree?
Not quite that. 10 years from now. Mm-hmm. What is happening right now at the University of Michigan, Michigan State University, that 10 years from now we will look back on and say, that was a jumping off point to something that was totally new, totally different, and game changing? What are you working on now? What do you see that you go, this gets me so jazzed as I mm-hmm. get up in the morning with what we're doing?
Well, both of us are ready to jump. Do you want to go first or shall I jump?
We're really excited about we're going through a visioning process, and there's two things that are coming to the fore. One is positioning the University of Michigan to really be a leader in thinking about the future of education mm-hmm. and the future of work. So hopefully 10 years from now, that'll be the headline. The University of Michigan has really changed how we educate and how we work.
And how we view work.
Yeah, and I agree with that. So we're working as well on how we educate at an individual level rather than a population level. And we showed we could do that post February 13th at Michigan State. And I think that's one of the reasons we will again have probably the largest class this fall joining us as we did last year. So we're going to exceed that this year. But in addition to the way we teach and the way we work, the Engineering Digital Innovation Center that we're putting mm-hmm. together that inverts the college model. It's not a college of engineering. It is a new way of thinking about digital innovation and all the digitally and engineering aligned needs for the industries of our future that we're putting together, not in a building, but in a center. And we're working with MEDC and with the state on that, and we're really excited about where that goes.
Can I say something real quick? Mm-hmm. Roy Wilson wasn't able to be with mm-hmm. us. And URC also includes Wayne State University. And that university and the region is better because of Roy Wilson.
Thank you very much. Thanks to you both, President Onono, President Woodruff. Always a pleasure.
Thanks, Guy.
Thank you very much.